morning.
Good morning.
Please stand and sing our opening hymn, number 499, Sunshine in My Soul.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome every one of you here this morning, this special Sunday, Father's Day Sunday, even as we sing this song, Blessed Happy Morning here, Sunshine in My Soul. It's a happy morning, a happy, beautiful sunshine morning here of celebrating worship together on Father's Day. Okay, just a couple announcements I'll begin with here just to share with you. First of all, just a reminder that we will have our final CBM vote here on July 10th. I've been kind of announcing that. It is posted on the bulletin board as well. Hope that you're able to stay. There will be a fellowship meal that will follow the service, and then the vote will take place at 1:30. All those that are active members will be able to vote in the CBM meeting. If you have a question about whether or not you're an active member, all you need to do is look in the new directory, and it has a little hashtag there to indicate whether or not you're active member or inactive. So I'm sure if you're coming, you're active. But anyways. Also, just note some vacation that we will be away. My family will be away on July 11th to the 17th. But there are deacons that are here. Your deacon is always available for your spiritual needs. So just take note of that also. Also, we have, and we're looking forward to our ice cream social here on July 24th. I hope that you share the message and get the news out. The Hebners are going to be coming and playing for us, and then we're going to have ice cream. We hope to do all this outside on the lawn if the weather's nice. That's what we've done before. They're really talented, and just a good opportunity of you to invite someone to come to church with you. Maybe you've been struggling on how you can invite someone to come and see your church, and what a great way to just invite someone to come and visit and say hello and let them enjoy some ice cream and good music, and just a good way to introducing them to the Moscow Church. Also, North River Community VBS will run this week, June 20th through the 24th at Sangersville. It starts at 6 o'clock p.m. to 8:30 p.m. There's a couple ways you can sign up. I did talk to Steve Spire, pastor at Sangersville, and he said that you could sign up there on Monday at 6 o'clock. Just be sure to have the parent come in and fill out the needed information. Also, there is a website, he said, that's available as well. I don't necessarily have the exact website.com and all that, but he said all you would need to do is just search Sangersville Church of the Brethren and VBS, and you're bound to find it if you just Google search it. So if you have trouble with that, you need more information, certainly reach out to me and I'll be glad to help you. But there are ways you can get signed up still for that. And I think it goes all the way up into junior high. So the middle schoolers can come to that. High schoolers, they really don't have anything for the high school, but they do for all the way up to junior high. All right, are there any other announcements that you'd like to share? Lee?
You might want to vote on the bulletin.
Uh-huh.
There was a technical difficulty. There's on the front of the bulletin.
Uh-huh.
Some of the graphics is just.
Oh.
Where it says Moscow.
Yeah.
And somebody, the user, would be kind of lost it.
Yeah, that's okay, Lee. You know what? I didn't even notice it until you said something.
The inside's correct.
Hey, Lee. I've said many times from the pulpit, we are human. And we're not perfect. Jesus is perfect, right? But we're not perfect. So if you wouldn't have said something, I would have never even noticed it. Sometimes you see something so much, you just take for granted that it's there. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate you sharing your correction there. And we'll look forward to it next week. Are there any other announcements? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious Sunday, this Father's Day Sunday, which we can come, Lord, celebrate the fathers, Lord, that you have here in our church and in our families, Lord, our own fathers, even those fathers that we remember here this morning. Lord, we just thank you for all the fathers in our life. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that the fathers bring to our life. And Lord, the instruction and goodness, and Lord, the help that they give us to carry out our lives, to be successful, men and women, and Lord, to love you with all our heart. Even we know they help in that. And so we just thank you, Father, for the fathers which you have given us. Lord, you are the ultimate Father. You are our heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank you for always loving us and always, Lord, looking down upon us and helping us in our time of need. Lord, we just thank you for the blessings which we have through you. And Father, we come this morning seeking to praise you and to glorify your name, Lord, to just lift up the name of Jesus so that all might hear it, Lord. Father, we know there are many today that are searching for you. And Lord, they're searching for that Father in their life, that Heavenly Father that Lord, they haven't received. And I just pray this morning that the hearts will continue to move and your spirit will move in the hearts of men today, Lord, and draw many people to you. Lord, we praise you. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. Let's stand this morning for our call to worship coming from Proverbs chapter 4. And it says, "Hear, my children, the instructions of a father. Give attention and know understanding. For I give to you good doctrine, and do not forsake my law. Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Hear, my sons, and receive my sayings, that the years of your life will be many." Let us turn in our hymnals, page 536. "Happy the home when God is there." Amen to that. Page 536. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for homes which, Lord, you are there. Happy homes, Lord, that, Lord, your word is being shared. Lord, and the husband and wife are teaching the children, Lord, your word. And Lord, Father, that a family that is seeking to live right and righteous before you, Lord, these are the things that you are pleased by. Lord, even as we turn our attention to Father's Day today, Lord, we just pray that, that fathers will be inspired, Lord, that fathers will rise up in the home, be spiritual leaders, Lord, that they will be leaders in their family to guide their family, to direct their family, Lord, and to do all these things that they might please you and their life, even the position and role that you called them. Lord, it's an important position. Lord, one that's missing in the family today in many homes. And Father, I just pray for each of the fathers that are here today. Lord, just thank you for them. And Lord, just continue to put within them your faith and your spirit, Lord, that they might lead their home and lead well. Lord, we praise you this morning. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take just a couple minutes and share with you some prayer requests. And just hopefully you'll be able to be in prayer for some of these people this week. Especially, first of all, just Eddie Corbin. Remember we were sharing last week and the week before, Eddie is Kathy Teeter's stepdad, and he had to get heart surgery again. It's the second time, I think, in the last year or so, 2 years. And so he headed there first of the week and had surgery, and he's doing fairly well. It was pretty intense surgery. I'm not exactly sure how many hours it took, but it was a lot, pretty much all day. Yeah.
Up until
right.
Well, second part of the week, it took to about 7:30.
Yeah. And then we got word that they weren't able to close him back up because there was issues when they were stitching the valves in, and they wanted to make sure that he healed. So I think he's since progressed good. I think that they've got the tube out now, breathing tube, and he's doing well. So we just praise the Lord for all the success there. He still needs our prayers, though. Eddie's still there in the hospital. He's going to be recovering for a while. And he's had some good things, though. His kidneys started working again. I think they were really concerned that that was an issue, having a second heart surgery like that, and just a number of other issues that so far God has just continued to provide for him. I had prayer with Eddie on the phone as he was traveling there to UVA and was able just to share some words with him. And his hopes were high. He was encouraged, and he knew God was looking over him. And so Kathy's been saying to me several times, he is a fighter. And he certainly is. He is a fighter, and he's fighting this, and he's doing great. So we just want to continue to lift Eddie up and the family, Kathy's mom, and all those that are just there by Eddie's side during this time and praying for Eddie's recovery. So we just praise the Lord for that. Also, would you put Scott Cook on your prayer list? Scott says, just got an issue with some kidney stones. He just asked that you would be in prayer for him over the next several days. Also, Robin Cook, if you would, just be in prayer for Robin. She's not been feeling well with the flu, and asked for prayer for her also. On our prayer, we want to continue to pray for Jean. We want to pray for John Radibush. Any update on John, Ronnie? How is he gotten any better with his back?
No, he's not no better.
Okay. 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 Well, we'll just pray that that starts to turn around for him, and just pray that he will get some relief through the medicines and therapy and other things that they're doing. So thanks for the update, Ronnie. We just continue to lift him up in prayers and pray that he will recover. This is about 3 or 4 weeks. Ronnie, you thought you were the one that was going to be in pain for the longest, but because John didn't have surgery, but ends up that you're recovering well, and he's kind of still fighting this. So, yeah. Praise the Lord, Ronnie, that you're doing well. Also, Everett's continuing to recover from surgery as well, hip replacement. We just praise the Lord for him being here this morning and his continued recovery. Other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? Well, praise the Lord for that. That's answered prayers there, and we'll just continue to pray for your mom. So thank you for sharing the update, and we just praise the Lord for that. So thank you for sharing. Other, Megan.
My neighbor, Carol Bruce Crew, she had her gallbladder taken out like 2 weeks ago, but she has still been fighting an infection.
Okay.
She's been back and forth to the emergency room several times, but she is back home recovering, but she's just really weak.
Okay.
And just pray for strength
for her. For this recovery, absolutely. Carol Bruce Crew. Groom.
C-R-U-M.
Okay, Croom, yeah. Yeah, Croom.
Well, I understand her husband's had shingles for a year.
Is that right?
I've never come out on it.
Shingles for a year.
Yeah.
My goodness.
A lot of pain.
That, I didn't know you could get them for a year. Yeah, isn't that something? So bad, so sorry to hear that. So lift up Carol and her husband too, it sounds like, for, especially for Carol's recovery though. Other, Deborah?
Travis Hottinger.
Okay.
He
yeah.
was on a dirt bike riding with his wife and he hit a deer at 55 miles an hour and he has broken everything.
Mm. Yeah, I know he broke his hands and
both legs.
Travis Hottinger was in an accident. His wife was riding with him?
She was on a separate bike.
Okay. Yeah. But certainly be praying for that recovery. That is a lot of broken bones to try to, you think just one broken bone would be bad to try to recover from. Couldn't imagine both legs, hands, and all the other injuries. I think he had some ribs and other sorts of things that he was just hurt from. So, yeah, very unfortunate.
Thank you, Mary Lee Reed.
Praise the Lord for that. Janet is sharing that Mary Lee Rees is doing a little bit better. So we praise the Lord for that and that she's going to be moving from the therapy to her house. She's not going very far. She's right there at Bridgewater Home. But I know she will certainly be glad to be back, and especially just to get past the pain she was in. She had several weeks of just severe back pain, so... Thank you for all those that maybe sent cards or gave a call or just were saying prayers for her. Appreciate all that. I know that is a big help when you're going through something like that. So just praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Janet, for sharing. Other prayer requests, Lee?
I'm kind of got a roundabout praise.
Okay.
Last fall, I had a vertigo attack, and it left me where I couldn't carry my right ear. And it's a cross where I can hear in my right ear from my left ear.
Huh.
And it's so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much better. It was so frustrating.
Yes.
And I was so mean. I was just mean.
Yeah.
It was a long
We need a confession booth here somewhere, don't we? Look at Alan. She's getting him to agree. And he. Yes.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's better.
Right. It is frustrating when you're having trouble either, you know, hearing. I had an issue where I couldn't see very well for a while and just had a bad glare issue. It's frustrating. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
It's different, but it's
yep. Praise the Lord for that. And Alan extended you lots of grace, I think, because we've received grace. We have to extend grace, don't we? And Lee, appreciate you sharing. Just praise the Lord that you're experiencing good results from the hearing aids. And
I can't believe what medical.
Uh huh. Yep. And the hearing aids now are so small that you can hardly tell some people are even wearing them. You know, it used to be a big thing, but just amazing the advancements there. So we just praise the Lord. And yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lee, for the confession and the praise. We appreciate it. Thank you, Lee. Thanks for sharing. Other prayer requests or praises? Joanne?
From my sister Linda.
Okay.
She still has a little bit of back issues, but gave her a shot and that's improved. I talked to her yesterday and she was, can't hardly talk at all. It's just all of her allergies seem like they're coming all at once to her.
Right. Right.
Just fighting.
Right. Yeah. Just continue, if you would, to pray for Joanne's sister, Linda, and just keep her in your prayers. So thank you, Joanne, for sharing that. Anyone else? I'm going to call now on our ushers to come forward and collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we again just come to you with our thanks in our heart, Lord, for all the answered prayers that we receive. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, those people that you continue to bring healing to, Lord, and that you continue to deliver from these sicknesses and illnesses, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you have the strength to provide for us in our time of weakness, Lord. That we can look to you and you can help us in our time of need. Lord, that you hear our prayer and our cry, Lord, and you're attentive to our every need. Lord, we just thank you for the good Father that you are to us. Lord, you are the example, the perfect example of the Father that we should be, Lord, and the type of Father that we desire in our life. Lord, we thank you for being that wonderful, blessed Father to each one of us. You are our Father who art in heaven. And Lord, we give you praise and glory here this morning. Lord, we continue to lift up those names mentioned here this morning, Lord, and offer them before you, Lord, that you would continue to do good work and that we might be filled with new, fresh testimonies of good things that you are doing for those who are sick and, Lord, those who are in need. Lord, those who are looking to you for the healing that they need in their life. Lord, we thank you for our offertory this morning. Lord, we just pray that it is a blessing for those who have given, Lord. Just pray that you continue to bless us, Lord, especially in this difficult time, Lord, a time of inflation, a time it seems that our money goes not near as far as it did a few years ago. Lord, we just pray that you continue to multiply what we have, Lord, that you might continue to provide for our families, Lord, and provide for us in all sorts of ways. But Lord, we just thank you that we have still the opportunity of our abundance to give to you. And Lord, we're just thankful for all the blessings which we have. Bless us, I pray, too, as we turn to your scriptures now. And Lord, look to hear what your words are saying to us, especially on this day of Father's Day. Lord, I just pray you speak to each of us, but specifically I pray, speak to those men, those fathers that are here today, Lord. Encourage each one of us for what responsibility and role that you've called us out in the home to do and be, Lord. And I just pray an encouragement, Lord, and a spirit of encouragement. I come over the men here that are here today, and Lord, help them in their duty, and help them, I pray, to be the men that you've called them to be in their home. Lord, we praise you. We glorify your Son, Jesus. Lord, it's him that we praise here this morning. We just offer all our thanks, our offering, our praise, all goes to him. Lord, we just worship him here this morning. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, ushers. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. Thank you for all those that are working there. In your Bible, I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're looking at just one verse here, verse 7. Title of sermon is Five Ways to Be a Successful Husband. Now, I know, ladies, you might think, well, that he's left me out this morning, that he's left me out. But no, certainly as I preach, even in five ways to be a successful husband, I think all of us will gain from that. Because when we have a family and a church and a community of strong men, Christian men, we are blessed. All of us are blessed. And so I think this is a sermon that we all benefit from, not just the men, but certainly I will be preaching to the men today. You know, today's sermon in a roundabout way is telling you how to be a good father. I know today's Father's Day, and it sounds like I'm preaching about how to be a husband. But trust me, as much as you are a good husband in the home, men, you will be an excellent father. The Bible has a lot to say about fatherhood. But what I want to talk specifically about, and I think that it is where you will be most successful as a father, is to first be a successful husband. Because listen, no man can be a successful father if he is not first a successful husband. As so goes the marriage, so goes the family. That makes sense. So if you want to be an excellent father, you need to work on as well being a successful husband. It's one of the things I tell even newly married couples or those that are going through counseling. The absolute best thing that you can do for your soon-to-be family or your future family, your children, is to love one another. As much as the husband and the wife are loving each other, the children and all those around them will be blessed. So let's look here at 1 Peter chapter 4 or chapter 3, verse 7 here. And it says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Listen, a broken home leads to broken children. I truly believe that. I think that is proven over and over and over. If there is a break in the home, it can certainly lead to a break in the children. And there's a certain stress that comes upon children that have a broken home. And he who neglects his wife certainly neglects his family. And so I want to give you, based on this scripture this morning, I think five ways in which, husbands, you can be successful in your marriage. Five ways that Peter points out here that we can be successful husbands and successful fathers in the family. And I want to have to admit, before I get preaching all this, that trust me, I'm not an expert. I have to preach the Word of God, but it preaches to me as much as it preaches to you. I'm not perfect in all these areas, but I certainly hear God's Word, as you hopefully hear God's Word, and that we are working on these things as men, as husbands, and as fathers. Okay, number one, what does Peter say here about five ways to be a successful husband? Well, Number one, notice there that as a successful husband, we are to practice intimacy with her. Verse 7, husbands, dwell with them. Now, them there is the wife, right? It's referring to the wife, to dwell with them. Now, the word dwell there doesn't simply mean just to coexist. Doesn't mean just living in the same home, to dwell with them. It means intimacy together, spending time together, intimate time together. Now, I know us men, when we hear the word intimacy, sometimes we get to thinking only physical intimacy, but that's not what I'm talking about here. Physical intimacy is one facet of intimacy, but there's more than just physical intimacy within the relationship, within the home, within the marriage. I think intimacy is kind of like that beautiful diamond that you gave your wife on your engagement. You know, it has many facets to it. The other sides of intimacy, there's emotional intimacy that we guys need to be working on. This emotional time, investing in each other emotionally. Intellectual intimacy, this spending time together in the intellectual way. Social intimacy, spiritual intimacy. Really, you think of intimacy as just, it's spending quality time together in these different areas, investing really yourself in the other person and vice versa. You know, couples usually are pretty good at being intimate, you know, really investing in each other at kind of before the marriage, kind of in that courtship stage. There's a lot of work that goes into being intimate with each other during that time. You get to know each other. You're investing in each other. You're spending quality time together. Unfortunately, sometimes what happens is after the marriage, that intimacy level starts to drop. And you get so busy maybe in the different things of your life, you're not spending that quality time together, whether it's socially or intellectually or spiritually, that togetherness that you're spending, that quality time that you should be investing in each other, it gets diminished in the home. And you get distracted and you get caught up in the busyness of life, whether it's children or whether it's a job or whether it's some other sort of thing that starts to creep in. And the intimacy level starts to fall within the home. But listen, guys, we can't drop off. We can't just give up when it comes to that. You know, the same effort that we put into the relationship when we were in the courtship, we have to continue to put that sort of effort in it as a married couple. Whether we've been together 5 minutes or 50 years, we should be seeking to be together and should be seeking to be intimate in those different sorts of ways. You know, the most successful couples are those couples that practice intimacy regularly and those relationships that are built on a friendship. Friendship. You know, your best friend, your husband and wife, should be each other. It should absolutely be each other. That's the best sort of marriage that you can possibly have, is one that is built on friendship. You should be her best friend. And he should be your best friend. And that absolutely is what will hold couples together when they have that friendship love. And a friendship love, you want to spend time together, don't you? Don't you want to spend time with your friends? You want to spend that quality time with friends? If he is your best friend and she is your best friend, you will be working really well intimacy because you love spending time together in these different sorts of ways. Okay, practice intimacy with her, where it says dwell together. Number two, be understanding of her, men. Be understanding. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Look at the word there, with understanding. And we are to work at trying to know our wife, to understand how she works and how she operates so that we can serve her and that we can love her even as she needs to be loved. great theologian there says, a woman's heart is a great ocean of secrets. Now, really, I got that off the Titanic movie, but it felt better to say it as a theologian. A woman's heart is a great ocean of secrets. There's a lot of truth to that, though. It's true. A woman is a very complex person. You know, men are so simple, really. Way to a man's heart, we heard, is through his stomach. Way to a woman's heart is much, much more complex. We know that, don't we, men? But just think for an instant, sir, just think for a minute about the complexity of the communication barrier between men and women. This is something we men had to learn, wasn't it? Didn't we? That there was this communication barrier between us. You know, when your wife says, it's your decision, what she really means is, I've already told you 10 times, you should have obviously know what the right answer is. When your wife says, do what you want, what that really means is you're going to pay dearly for this later. Isn't that right, guys? When your wife says, we need to talk, what that really means is what she's saying is, you are in big trouble, mister. You better get ready to hear it. If she says, I'm not upset, what she's really saying is, of course I'm upset, you big buffoon. If she says, you're so manly, what she really means is you need to shave and shower. If she says, this room is so dull looking, what she means is it's time to paint this entire house. I've heard that one too. If she says, I want new curtains, what she really means is I want new carpet and wallpaper and furniture and lighting. If she says, this kitchen is so inconvenient, what she's meaning is, I want a new house. If she says, I heard a noise, what she really means is, I noticed you were almost asleep. If she says, I'll be ready in a minute, what she really means is, you might as well go sit down and turn on the game, because it's going to be a little while. If she says, are you listening to me? And what she really means is, too late, you're dead. If she says, do you love me? What she's really saying is, I'm going to ask for something really expensive. And if she says, how much do you love me? That real something really expensive is in the back of the car and needs your help to unload it. If she says, do you like that recipe? What she really means is, you better like it, because it was easy to make and I'm going to keep fixing it. There's a communication. There's just differences between us. Men and women are different. I know society likes to think anybody can just choose what they want to be these days. There is inherently differences. The way God designed us, we are different. That doesn't mean that one is greater or less than the other. We're just made different. And men, we have to work to understand our wife. We have to put in the effort to learn and understand her and know her, to get to know her. Learn your wife the same way that you set out to learn any other sort of thing in your life, a sport or a hobby or a job. Spend time getting to know her. Learn how to communicate with her and to understand her thinking. Okay, number two, we need to get to know her. Number three, give honor to her. Look again there, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell. This is the intimacy with them, with understanding, getting to know, and then giving honor to her. Notice there, giving honor to her. Husbands, give honor to your wife. You know, honor is not something we necessarily talk about a lot in marriage. Honor seems to be something that belongs on the battlefield or maybe towards our parents or something. But this honor is supposed to be within the household as well, especially us husbands should be honoring our wives. This honoring is really showing respect or giving gratitude or thanks to. And let me ask you guys, when's the last time that you thanked your wife? When's the last time that you said to her, thank you for all that you do? Thank you. Maybe you only do that on a special occasion. Maybe it's Mother's Day or an anniversary or something of that sort where you're saving those thank yous up for. But listen, friend, we need to say thank you to our wives. A successful marriage cannot rely on just sharing your appreciation only once or twice a year. Honoring her means that you're making a routine attempt to show how important she is to you. I tell you guys, we really have to work at this, don't we? We have trouble sharing our emotions. We're not quite as emotional or connected to our emotions as women are. And we have to dig a little deeper. We have to work a little harder when it comes to communicating how we feel, and especially when it comes to being thankful for our wives. But we can't just simply give up on that because maybe it's not easy for us. We have to work at it. Just because something is hard doesn't mean you just don't do it. Lots of things are hard in life, but we continue to work at it. And we have to work at making sure that we're telling our wife, our loved one, that they are important, and making sure that they know that we are thankful for them and that we love them. You know, a lot of times we men assume that she knows how we feel. We kind of are guilty of that, aren't we, men? Hey, listen, I know you because I am you. I'm a man too. And we know that at times we take for granted. We assume that the wife knows how we feel, but there's nothing that replaces words. We can't just assume that they know something. One couple was asked what made their marriage so successful and what was their secret after being married for so many years. And well, the man said, when I got married on my wedding day at the ceremony, my soon-to-be father-in-law gave me this beautiful gold pocket watch. A very nice pocket watch, but he said when he looked at this, he received this gift, he seen that on the front of the pocket watch was engraved these words from the father-in-law, say something nice to Sally. That was what was there. Say something nice to Sally, because that father wanted to make sure that this soon-to-be husband was always, as much as he thought about that watch or seen that watch, that he was saying something nice to his wife. And he said that was the secret. Every time he looked at that watch, he remembered that he needed to say something nice to his wife. Listen, husbands, before you get home this evening and pull the car in the driveway, say something nice to your wife. Say something that shows your appreciation and your thanks for her. Honor her is what the Bible says. Honor her. Okay, number four, notice here, pray regularly with her. Verse 7, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You know, one of the absolute best things that a husband can do with his wife is to pray together. And how many of us do that? Do you men spend time praying together with your wife regularly? You know, in Bible times, especially in ancient Israel, you could see where a woman's role in society, even in the marriage, had become somewhat diminished. They weren't necessarily seen as equals, which was a fault in which Peter points out here. Notice that they are heirs together of this grace. It's not that the wife is any less spiritual or any less valuable in the family unit, but they are both equal. And of the same promises that we've received of salvation and eternal life, as men, women have received the same thing. We are joint heirs, notice there. We are heirs together of this grace of life. We're equal. We're equal. And friends, if we are spiritually equal in the home, then we need to come together as spiritual equals and seek God together. And Paul says one of the basic elements of coming together as spiritual equals in the home is praying together. That's just the most basic element. Just He comes out with, I think, the most basic thing that we could do as seeing each other as co-heirs of the promise is praying together in the home. I encourage you guys, you need to be praying with your wife. She is your spiritual partner. She is who you need to be praying with. Spend time together, praying together, and seeking God together in the home. You know, a family that prays together stays together. Amen? I'm telling you, that is the truth. A family that is praying together, a husband and wife that are spending time together in prayer will stay together. It's a fireproof thing for your marriage. Spend time praying together with each other. Bible tells us that we're not to be unequally yoked. Listen, friends, if two Christians in a marriage is what God defines as the right thing, and you need to come together as husband and wife, as Christians, co-heirs of this grace of life, and pray together and seek God together. Okay, number five, deal with her gently. Deal with her gently. Verse 7, give honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. As the weaker vessel. Now, weaker, this isn't some type of slur at a woman at all here. It's just Peter is taking and showing that there is differences between a man and a woman. For instance, the difference here, kind of like between a sledgehammer and a porcelain teacup. There's differences between the two, right? Sledgehammer versus a porcelain teacup. Now, some people say, well, the teacup is of no value because it can't drive nails. Well, neither can you drink tea out of a sledgehammer. They both have different purposes. One's not greater than the other. One's not less than the other. They just have different roles, and that's the way it is in the home. One's not greater than the other, but we've been given roles. And notice that Peter points out here that the wife, the woman, is different in the sense that she's the weaker vessel. I don't believe that necessarily even means a physical weakness. I think it has to do with the emotional weakness. That she, and men, you guys know this, that she's just more sensitive. A woman is naturally more sensitive. She's more emotional. She moves a lot more with her emotions than we guys do. I can watch a movie with my wife, and she's over there just bawling and crying, and I'm thinking, I'm not getting it. What's so emotional about this movie, you know? It's not striking me in the same way that it's hitting her. And that's just the difference, isn't it? It's not that that's bad or that's wrong. It's just that she is more sensitive. She is more emotional. And that's what Peter's saying here. He says, deal gently with her. You know, I tell my boys and that they can't act the same way with their friends that are girls in the same way that they do with the friends that are boys. That you have to be gentle. That little girls have emotions a lot more than little boys do, and their feelings get hurt a lot quicker than little boys, and that they need to be gentle with their words and their actions when they have friends that are girls, and to treat them gently, and to not to treat them like they would their guy friends. Another way of saying deal with her gently is to say be sensitive to her emotional needs. Don't resent her because she is more emotional than you. And certainly don't abuse her with that as well. You know, God made your wife special. She's emotional. That's good. That's what gives her her beauty, her compassion, her tenderness, her love. Those things that we embrace or should embrace and admire. It's not that one is valued more or less in the home. It's that we both have different roles. Deal with her gently. 5 points there, friends. Men, take that to heart. 5 wonderful ways in which we can draw close to our wives and be good husbands and good fathers in the home. I have to share with you this with you before I close. I got this little joke this morning, and it was kind of cute. And I'll end with this. It was about a wife that was looking for a perfect husband, and that there was this thing called the husband store that they could go to. And so the woman went into this store looking for the perfect husband. And the rules for the store was that when you go in, you can have any item, or you choose any man from the store, and you can move up each floor, but you cannot move down. Once you've moved up, you cannot move down. So this prospect woman goes to the first floor, and there it says that in this floor, these men all have jobs. And so the woman thought, well, that's pretty good. That's a nice floor, but wonder what's on the second floor. What could be even better than that? So she went to the second floor, and it said that these men all have jobs and love kids. Thought, this is getting better yet. Yeah, this is great. Wonderful. Maybe I'll just keep going up to see what's on the next floor. And so the woman goes up to the next floor, and there it said that these men all have jobs, they love kids, and they are extremely good looking. Well, now we're getting somewhere, thought the woman. This is really getting good. You know, all these wonderful attributes, maybe I'll just keep going up. It has to get better, right? So floor number four, the woman goes to, and of course, says these men on this floor all have jobs. They all love kids. They're all good looking, and they all are good at housework. Wow, you know, this is really getting good. And so this was floor four. She thought, two more floors left, five and six. What could be next? So under the next floor she goes, fifth floor, and there it says, these men here on this floor all have jobs, they all love kids, they all are good looking, they all are good around the house, and they all have a strong romantic side. Wow, you know, pretty much everything you'd think that a woman would want there, but she thought, you know what? What could be next? What more on floor six could I get? So up to the next floor that she went. And there she found this sign that said, there are no men on this floor. You are woman 356 million on this floor. And this floor only exists to prove that it's impossible to please a woman. Listen, guys, it may feel like it's impossible to please a woman, but if you do those things that the Lord instructs us, you know, if you do those five simple things, listen, you will be successful in being a good husband and in return be a great father. Listen, there's no great fathers without being great husbands. I guess I can't say that as a blank statement. There are good fathers. But speaking to those who are married, specifically, if you want to be a great father, be a good husband. I think that's the statement that sticks. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the message that you have given us here this morning, Lord, of how we can truly be great fathers in the home. And Lord, we just pray that each man that is here today, Lord, that they will continue to seek you with all their heart, seek to be true to where you've called them, Lord, in the home, as a husband or as a father. And Lord, that they will seek to live out your truths each and every day. Lord, that they will seek to the best of their abilities, Lord, to be a good husband and to be a good father. Lord, we pray that you encourage those fathers that are here today, that they hear this word, Lord, and that they are strengthened to be the fathers in which you have called them to be. Lord, you desire for there to be strong fathers in the family today. And Lord, we need your help to do that. I pray that each father that is here today, Lord, if they are going to live out that call to being a godly father in their home, Lord, that they have first and foremost received your love in their heart. Lord, they can no more extend that love to the family if they have not first received it. And so I pray for each man, really, that's here today, Lord, that each one of them can say, I truly have received Jesus into my heart. And Lord, I love him and I am seeking to serve him and please him and love him in all that I do and all that I say and how I raise my children and how I show them love. Lord, that's the perfect father. That's the father that you desire. That's the heart of the man that you've called to be fathers today. And Lord, I pray that you help each one of us that have that title of being a father. Lord, help us to live that out in a real way in the home. Father, we praise you and we glorify you. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, let's gather now in our closing hymn. Page 279, Faith of Our Fathers. Page 279. Let us stand and sing. Our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, as we go forth on this special day, this Father's Day, Lord, I just pray you encourage again these men that are here today. Lord, you've called some to be fathers here. Lord, I just pray that you put within each man here, Lord, the abilities, the strength that they need to be the father that you've called them to be, the husband that you've called them to be, Lord. Strengthen those marriages, Lord, and through that, I pray, Lord, you will bless the families. Father, we give you praise and glory on this special day. We honor our fathers, and in that we honor you. Lord, we praise you here this morning. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.